of you. Now, I know that was to Israel way back, but the Bible is to us, I think, isn't it? Bible's to us, so it means that the Lord requires of us as something. Now, what I want you to do today, I want you to think about your Christian life. Just look at it from down the years to where it is right now, and where would you put it as your rating between 1 and 10? I hope nobody's got 11 here, because you should be up here preaching if you have. Just in your own heart, in your own mind, where would you put or rate your life, your experience as a Christian? Not as a worker, not as your position in your job or anywhere else, but as a Christian, as your walk with Jesus, where would you put your rating today? So this simple presentation today has got five little words in it. Well, actually, they're not little words, but they are fairly big words used in Scripture, and they are attributes that God wants to build around our lives, important ones. And it's part of the Christian experience. Each one of these words are part of your experience from its beginning to its end, to be glorified with God. So we're going to go through that way today. So as long as you've got that rating now in your heart, we can move along. Why must we remember some of the scriptures, all of the scriptures, particularly ones that are applied to us? Now, I don't know how you became a Christian, but I know one thing, and one way that you became a Christian, it's the Bible way. And Jesus made a statement. He said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." So God chose each one of you a way back before the beginning of time. God said, "Jim, I can see you way up front. Russell, see you way up front. Kent, see you way up front. I know what you'll be like, and I've chosen you." So what a great experience to realize that in all the people in this world, God chose you to be here today. God made that decision for you. So I want to start with one word, and I'm sure you all know it. Now, all of you have got this word, I'm sure. Justification. How many's got it? Look how slow it was to put your arms up. I preached this once before, and I asked people what was justification and whether they'd put their hands up, and we didn't have anyone put their hands up. So as long as you know what justification is, we can slip over to the next one then, is that right? Justification. Anyone heard of a statement that might tell you what justification?
Just as if I had never sinned.
Just as if I had never sinned. What Jesus did was he gave us a way to the cross, didn't he? He has given us a way that we can come to the foot of the cross. How many of you read Pilgrim's Progress? Pilgrim's Progress, some gentleman, I've forgotten his name, I was going to bring the book, but I didn't, put out a children's book that's so big, and it's called The Great Discovery. And it's all about Pilgrim's Progress and his journey. And so Jesus made a journey for us to come to the foot of the cross. And there at the foot of the cross, we bring our burden. We bring our sin. We bring our wayward way of life, our thoughts, our doings, everything about us that is not quite right. We bring it to the foot of the cross. And Pilgrim's Progress says, it rolled away. Jesus says, "I take that sin and I bury it in the deepest sea. As far as the east is from the west," God takes your sin and then he sends you on your way just as if you had never sinned. And that's where we want to be. In all of these words, just as if we had never sinned. So David in Psalm 51 said, "He blotted out my transgressions." He got them, covered them up, got rid of them, so that I may be justified in my words and blameless in my judgments. That's part of your life, part of the way we live, our words and the things that we do. We do what is in our heart and in our mind and what we want to do and talk about. So he is justified for Daniel, his words, and blameless in his judgments. Your judgments are the way you live, what you do, the decisions that you make, where you go, how you speak, how you talk to friends outside of Christ. So where's our level of Christianity at the moment, up or down? God has done a lot for us in our salvation. He's made an awful lot of promises to us that are available if we can see them. Now, some of them are out of our reach or seem to be. But in Romans 8:30, Paul says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate." In other words, he chose. We've already started with that. He chose. He had a plan for you. "Them he also called, and those that he has called, he also justifies." So we have no excuse. God is there to do that, to justify us before himself. And for those that he justifies, the good part is he will glorify. Do you want to travel down that road? Is that the way that you want to go? You got plans beyond this grave? If Jesus should come, have you got your plans in order that you're ready for that? We can walk in the light, Jesus said. We can walk in the light. And Jesus said that's part of a true child of God. In Galatians 3, Paul also said, "Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster." The Old Testament. I don't know. Do you read the Old Testament very much? There's a lot of people that I know that say, "I can't read the Old Testament. It's too gruesome. It's terrible." And sometimes it is. Daphne and I have been reading it lately, and it's not real healthy. And Israel weren't very helpful either, healthy or helpful, in the way that they treated God. We are justified by faith. That's a terrific experience. How's your faith? How's your trust and confidence in God? Are you in touch with God? Do you talk with God? Does he talk with you? That's important in the Christian life, is how you relate to God. What's your relationship with God? You might say, "Oh, God's up there." He's not up there. In Fortnite, I believe, Tony's put me back down again. So we might talk about where God is or where Jesus is. Find out whether he's here or whether he's not. You might say, "Well, he's living in my heart." Well, we hope so. But we're justified by faith. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, that's not easy, is it? Keeping his commandments. In Galatians 2:16, it says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law." In other words, your works. It doesn't matter how much you do for the church. It doesn't matter how many chairs you put away after service. It doesn't matter what good deeds you feel that you might be doing on the outside. God looks down and says, "Filthy rags. Nothing but filthy rags." It's all about our relationship with God. What God has given you and what's on the inside, in your vessel, in your heart. We cannot be justified by the things that we do and the places we go and what we say. It's a warning to us that the law is finished. We're not under the law anymore. We're justified by grace, that we should be made heirs to the kingdom of God. Would you like to be an heir with God? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ for the kingdom of God, for part of all that God has got stirred for us. With justification comes a very, very special word that God has placed in there. And it's one word that we don't like. Separation. separation. God has chosen us to be part of his family. You can't be part of this world and be part of God's family too. Yes, we have to do things in this world to live this life. We have to be part of doing things that we have to do. We go to work, we have families, and all of those things, but we must be separated from the world and be a child of the kingdom of God. For I am persuaded, Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How about that? That's where your experience with God should be. That's where God wants us to walk, so that nothing on this outside world can separate us from the kingdom of God, from our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Separated, the blood of Jesus Christ washes away sin, cleanses us, and makes us to become a totally new creation. The old man is gone, finished, and we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Corinthians, Paul was talking about his relationship, and he said, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, or in us. I will walk, he will walk with us. He will be our God, and we will be God's people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you and will be your a father unto you. You will be my son, you will be my daughter, says the Lord God Almighty. That's his promise to you and to me. How do we accept it? How do we take it? Do we keep clear of the world? Well, there are still things that go on the inside. If we remember that we are part of God's family, if we are anticipating a place in heaven, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then the moment that Jesus comes, he will take us to be with himself. You say when? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, Jesus said, I will return. When you are least expecting it, when you are not ready, Jesus said, I will come. Again, Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor any of these things can separate me from the love of God. We must remember that he chose us. We didn't choose him. We didn't choose to become a Christian. He chose you because he knew that you have the capacity to be able to follow him and be his servant. Remember now, we are separated from the world, from all those things on the outside. Edification, that's a big word. Who's got that one? Edification is about what we have to share. Jesus came to edify us. Paul went to the people all around the world of his time, way across, and eventually ending up at Rome. He went and he brought edification. How's your relationship with people? How's your relationship with your neighbour? How is your relationship with people on the outside? Do you steer clear of them? Or you're anxious to serve them? Some wonderful verses in Scripture that can challenge us, and today we possibly will find some of them. But God wants us to function well in the Christian church, because you are the church. Remember, we're not talking about denominations. God's got no interest in denominations at all. There's 34,000 registered denominations, and you're one of them, but God's only interested in building his church, God's church. And you, a Christian, are part of that church. You are the church. The church is not a building, the church are people. You are it. You are God's vessel here on earth. You are God's instrument to do his work. You're God's people and he wants to use us in the kingdom of God. Therefore, Paul says, I write these things to you. Though I'm absent, I wish I were there, because he says, if I were there, I would be sharp. He was saying, I would have been upset with you, and I would be real angry with you at Torbert. According to the power of the Lord that has given me, I come to bring to you edification. I come to bring you the teaching of Scripture, teaching you all things. I'm not an evangelist. I sent me out to mission field for 15 years, and yes, I was a walking evangelist. Walked over many, many parts of the highlands of New Guinea, taking the gospel to the people and sharing with them. When God brought me home, he brought me home to teach. For 11 years, I taught in a Bible school and been teaching ever since in that way, that we might bring Christians into that place and that walk where they realize who they are in Christ, who you are in Christ. I've come to edify, Paul says, not to destroy. I've come to build you up. I've called to bring you to that place where you are one in Christ. Where you fall, you feel that you are walking with him. That when you're out there, he's with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's always there. Do we realize that? That Jesus is living in us. He's part of us. He said he built us within a temple, that God might live within us and be a child of God with him within us. The strength that is yours, the power that God makes available to you as a child of God. Who else do you think is going to build the church of tomorrow? Who's going to build the church in Wauchope tomorrow? Your children? That's the responsibility that God gives to all of us, to be part of the building program. Was it 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when the news came that Daphne had the x-ray, and our doctor rang home and Daphne answered the phone and said, you have to go to the hospital immediately, immediately. And I was out at Ballandry, at Wauchope, the other side of Wauchope, helping them build a house. So I didn't get back till 1 o'clock. So we did what we were told, and she's been through the operation and here today. All right, one step further. Purification. Gonna have to hurry. Who, being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by his word and his power, when he had himself purged of sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Who's that? None other but Jesus himself. And you walk with him and he walks with you day by day. You may not see him, but he said, I send another a comforter who will come and will be with you and in you. He is in you. He's with you. There are no excuses for us not living for him today. It's important. So purification comes. Being with his brightness and express image, he helps us along the way. In a similar way, we as Christians need to be melted down. You know, I guess nearly all of you wear a gold ring, particularly the ladies wear a gold ring. I grew up in parks out west, and there are big gold mines out there, and they're back again out there, so we've got gold mines everywhere. Gold comes in a piece of rock, most of it. Somebody every now and again picks up a nugget, but they're generally in a rock. And they get that gold out because it's softer than the rock itself. It's put to the furnace. And putting it to the furnace, it melts the gold and the gold comes out. And when the gold comes out, it's purified by heat. And so that's part of what we need today, to be melted down, to be separated for God. Get rid of the impurities, cleansing us from guilt, pollution of sin, extinction of sinful desires, taking those things out of our heart, out of our minds, out of our way, giving us our desire for God and having an appetite and an inclination to serve God, just to serve our living God. In Titus 2 verse 13, Jesus said, who gave himself for us that we might
Redeemer, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Are you peculiar? Do you feel peculiar? Do you feel different? That's what Jesus wanted to do. It said that he purified himself. He went to the extremes to go to the cross, shed his blood, to clean you of your sin and all things that are wrong, and not just you only, but across the world, across the face of the world. Jesus died for all of us, and the reason he did that, to make you a peculiar person who would be zealous for him and good works. Important. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth fruit and more fruit. Every man or woman that abides in me is cast forth. Every man that is not abiding in him is cast forth and withered. Man gather them and cast them into the fire. You know the stories from 15. God calls us to serve him. In the gospel we are told, Jesus himself said, I chose you. Why did he choose you? He said, I chose you and ordained you. I love that. I got a piece of paper that hangs on the wall that says that I'm ordained, but I thank God that he ordained me, gave me a chance in ministry 60 years ago. And I thank God for that. I mightn't be real good at it, but I try. But God wants to ordain us that we might go and bring forth fruit, and that that fruit will remain, and tomorrow it'll be God's church. And that's what God has depended upon us, that he will use us to build a church. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, we can have love unfeigned, or honest love, sincere love. Being followers of Jesus, born again, we offer ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ to be workers in his vineyard. That's what he called us for. And lastly, sanctification. You all know what that means. Term of sanctification. Charles Finney, one of my favourite writers and ministries, I like him. I don't know why. Charles Finney was very keen on sanctification. And you probably don't know it. But when he was a young man preaching sanctification, he was in the Baptist church. So they threw him out. Doesn't sound good. But he chose the word to entire sanctification. And on those grounds, Baptist Church in the United States of America threw him out of the church. But in Thessalonians we read, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your spirit and soul and body be kept in our eternal home, sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called you is faithful, who also will do it. That's God's plan for you. That's God's desire for you, to change you. You may say, oh, Lord, I can't change. I've been like this for 20, 30, 40 years. I can't change. God is all powerful. God can change you, but it comes from you. It comes from you. If you give yourself to God, he will take you. Our problem is that we're not that anxious to do too much for God. We're not anxious to go and do the hard things. We don't like those too much. When you go out on the mission field, and a lot of people have gone out in the last few weeks, month, and go home. It's not easy. Not easy to be 80 kilometres away from the nearest little town that's got 3 shops and an airstrip. And you're with those people when someone gets sick. Especially if we had 3 little children that got sick. You can't call the doctor. There isn't one. Oh, we did. We had a doctor on radio. It's a long way from home when you have a need.
when you have to trust God, when you have to trust him. And that's important. Can we, as believers, step up? Where's the mark now? Where are you feeling now? Have you got yourself up or down in your relationship with God? In John's Gospel, sanctify them by the truth. Your words, truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them, you and me. I sanctify myself for them, so that they may be sanctified by the word of God. Do you read the word of God? Do you read the word of God every day? If you don't, you haven't really got what God wants you to have. Paul says through Timothy, because he was a young man, he said, study. Study the word of God. Show yourself approved unto God. Approved unto God, not to man. A workman or woman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Sorry, coming from Isaiah. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. From Proverbs, I'm sorry. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. John Patterson wrote a lovely hymn years ago. I don't know whether you've heard it or not. Probably not. I met Daphne over 63 years ago at a camp, and we got together and we started a relationship together. She played the piano, her mum played the piano, I played a violin and a piano accordion and a trumpet. But at the time, we decided to sing together. And this is the first song that we ever sang. It's not an easy road, you're traveling to heaven. Many are the thorns on the way. It's not an easy road, but the Saviour is with us. His presence gives us joy every day. No, it's not an easy road. No, it's not an easy road. But Jesus walks beside us and brightens the journey and lightens every heavy load. Can we be justified? Can we be separated? Can we be edified? Can we be purified? Can we be sanctified to serve him? It's all up to you. It's between you and God. I can do nothing more than read out the word to you. Some of you, they go back a long way. Here's a verse from a chorus to remind you as you go today. Only to be what he wants me to be, every moment of every day. Only yield it completely to Jesus alone, every step of the pilgrim way. Just to be clay in the potter's hand, ready to do what his word commands, only to be what he wants you to be and me every moment of every day. Father, we give you thanks that you want us to be what you want us to be. And Lord, that's the way we feel within our heart. It's not always easy. The road is not easy. But you're walking with us. You go with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You're closer than brother. You're closer than hands or feet. Father, today we pray that you will sow into our hearts a desire to walk closer to you, that we might have you living in us and working through us, that we might be vessels unto honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Where's your rating today? Where's your rating? Has it gone up or down? Work on it. May God bless you. We can sing that song, Thank You, Jesus, for Saving My Soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Now that you've thanked him for it, you better do something about it. God bless you.